The following program is brought to you in living color.
See this earth? It has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land, and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the vixen of the vineyard, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about its grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our slowly getting plucked from its happy little home, little grape. Yes, our grape is making the transition. It is fully an adult now. And it is longingly going with its brethren to jump in great destemmers and crushers and vats, all to be created to make us very happy people, most likely in the year 2013.
You should write romance novels.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, God knows I don't get enough inspiration around here for any kind of cover artwork. Y'all need to work on that.
Ouch. Hold on. I was winged here.
It's one of those days around here. Do not poke the bear. That is the best advice I can give you. Do not poke this bear. Although I am excited as we are starting to see our grapes come in and we can look at the idea of going towards harvest. Let's keep our fingers crossed. It turns out to be a good one because that is on everyone's minds these days. It seems like all of my loyal listeners, you have two schools of thought right now. One, you want to know what the grapes are doing. I wish I could set up little cameras so you would have little vacation shots of them and where they were. But the other thing you want to know is apparently everybody must be very concerned with money. I could understand this if it were April around the holidays, but it seems like every email I'm getting is taking one of two tacks. One, when's harvest? How's harvest? What color are the grapes? When are they going to be in? When can we taste them? Or why is wine going up? Why is it so expensive? Is it going to matter whether Obama gets elected or if Romney gets elected as to the cost of my wines? So I figure as long as we're taking that tact, look, if you're very interested in grapes, go to Napa Valley Cam, go to some of these winery cams, check out the grapes. You can look at them if you're really lucky. Let me know if they start smiling and waving. But the rest of you, we're going to talk about what you're concerned about today. So we are actually going to discuss the color of money. We're going to talk about your wine. We're going to talk about whether it's going up, whether it's going down, and what you can expect for the rest of 2012 and 2013. Actually, to do that, I have recruited help. We have Mr. Rob McMillan. He is the founder of Silicon Valley Bank's wine division. And he has an article out recently called Can Wineries Increase Their Bottle Prices? So we'll make an expert talk about it. But before then, of course, I will give you my opinions on whether they can go up or not. And we'll evaluate what goes into it, why it may go up. No, we're not going to look at the bottle cost again. But we are going to talk about your wine going up. Before we do that, though, we have to have wine recommendations. Well, I don't guess we have to have wine recommendations.
No, we have to.
We have to?
Yeah.
What if I get bored one day and recommend a beer?
That'd be all right with me.
Wonder if that's acceptable. Listeners, would a beer be acceptable? I've been doing a lot of work out in yards and hot and sweaty, and I've drunk a lot of beer lately. Let me know. 877-4-CRUSH-1. In the meantime, your white wine recommendation. I was feeling kind of old school today, and a wonderful, wonderful person, great winemaker, Miss Mary Edwards. Mary Edwards does a Sauvignon Blanc, and that's M-E-R-R-Y, Edwards. Absolutely fabulous Sauvignon Blanc, 2010. This is out of Russian River Valley. And a lot of people, it's real hard. You say Russian River and people think Chardonnay and Pinot. A lot of times people don't make the leap and assume Sauvignon Blanc because you expect Sauvignon Blanc to be grown in a warmer climate. But this thing, it is absolutely lovely. What I like about it, it's elegant. Not a phrase I can necessarily deal with today, but definitely elegant. You get peaches, you get melons, you get some of that ripe stone fruit that just makes things, I don't know, a little more pleasurable. To me, this is the perfect 2 o'clock wine. Of course, being a Mary Edwards product, it does have a fair amount of backbone to it. So by having backbone, it means it can stand up to just about any kind of greenery salad, grilled scallion, shrimpy, scallop, anything you want to put with it. So not only is it great by itself, it's going to be very good with food. Your red wine recommendation, I decided to go north and go up to Washington State. This is more of a value-oriented wine. It's the Canoe Ridge Merlot. Now, Canoe Ridge has seen some interesting times. It has bounced back and forth. It was its own winery. Then I think it got involved with some of the St. Michelle properties. Then it got from over there. It's getting on with another conglomerate. But bottom line is, Canoe Ridge has its feet back under them. They are doing some outstanding wines. And the first one that is truly going to be flag-flying benchmark wine for them is this current vintage of Canoe Ridge Merlot. It's great because it's got a profile on it you don't often taste. And I think a lot of people associate with wood, but it's got a little bit of cinnamon on it. And you get cinnamon, you get a little bit of coffee, and of course, being a Merlot from Washington State, it's going to have some black cherries in it. This thing is just lush, spicy, and sexy. Maybe I should go back to being a romance novelist. Maybe I can put that all together. We can start talking about bearing chest and all that kind of thing. It might make the show a whole lot more interesting, or at least entertain me a little bit more.
I'm not bearing mine. You can do what you want.
Why, thank you, Kent. I appreciate the permission. But anyway, Canoe Ridge Merlot, sexy wine, has some coffee overtones to it. And you'll definitely find it for only $20 in your local Mega Marts. Definitely worth pursuing. Now, you'll remember, I lectured you at the beginning of the year that you needed to be trying Merlot again, branching out. This is definitely one of those wines that makes it worth experimenting with. As we get towards the end of summer season, beginning of fall, it just with a nice little chill on it, it will pair well with anything. Definitely worth checking out. So your two wine recommendations for today, Canoe Ridge Merlot out of Washington State and Mary Edwards Sauvignon Blanc out of the Russian River Valley. Now, I realize you can't just raise your hand and answer me. It'd be fun to have all of you in the studio and let's just have a dialogue about this. But it does seem like everybody is very concerned about the price they're going to pay for the wine. My question to you is, did I do this to you? Did I cause this panic? I know we've discussed the cost of a bottle of wine. I know we've discussed what's going into it. We've talked about some wineries having insolvency. But I'm really just getting an avalanche of people wanting to know if their wines are going to go up. If it's going to go up, when it's going to go up, why their wine prices are going to go up. And so you put this all together and it's a bit disconcerting. I do want to, before we get into the discussion on this, I had mentioned in a show, oh Lord, those brain cells left the building a long time ago. I want to say 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, we were discussing Crush Pad. And at one point we had had the owners of Crush Pad on the show. This was a custom crush facility out in Sonoma. It is now under new ownership. It has been auctioned off. And we were concerned that we wouldn't have access to Crush Pad. Crush Pad basically is a custom crush facilities where people can go. They can basically pay whether $10,000 a barrel for wine, higher or lower, and make their own wine, have their own label. And also, it's a place that has generated a lot of great brands. You know, keep in mind that just because you have a wine doesn't mean you have a winery. But it is back. It is functioning. It's going to be functioning under a different concept, different name. It's moved to the Sebastiani Winery. But this place is kind of a good microcosm for what we're discussing about wine. Because in the past few years, yes, we have seen wine prices dip. We have seen some very aggressive pricing. We have seen iconic wines selling for prices that, you know, we never thought we'd see. You know, we've seen a Silver Oak out there occasionally at $25 a bottle, things we never thought we'd encounter. But when the Crush Pad got auctioned off, people kind of looked around and said, why did this fail? All of us joke around about the fact I'd like to have a bottle with my name on it. In fact, I have several bottles with my name on it, and it's stuff that people have, you know, structured or created or helped us out with. But ultimately, the problem that came from Crush Pad is they overestimated sales based off perceived demand. Yes, I am educated beyond my intelligence. We aren't going to get into that. But basically, Crush Pad was very forward-thinking. They thought, oh my God, everybody wants to have a wine that they have had their hands on, feet in, label touch, something like that. And in doing so, we'll definitely be able to sell through wines. And then on the side, we'll make these great brands that, my gosh, everybody's buying these inexpensive wines. We'll just sell through and it won't be a problem. Well, of course, obviously, it was a problem. Number one, they definitely overestimated the demand of people who actually had the funds, the wherewithal, and the motivation to go through creating their own wine. I've discussed Lawson Chardonnay not only with you, a couple winemakers, and I just can't seem to get out of the gate on it. Of course, it would be outstanding, 98 points, probably the best thing you've ever tasted in your life. But even though I have the wherewithal, I have the knowledge, I have the background for it, I can't get out of the gate and start it. And that's a problem they ran into with a lot of people who wanted their own wines. On the flip side of it, when you start creating your own label and your own brand that's to be sold in the market, say I have Kent Chardonnay that's to be sold at Rice liquor stores. You know, I just expect Kent Chardonnay to fly off the shelves all by itself. What happens a lot of times when you have these custom created brands is if there's no marketing behind it, if there's no drive behind it, if there's no push, no gimmick, no clause, no sales force, no wholesaler network, nothing, then it's exactly going to do what you'd expect it to do. What happens when you don't pay attention to something? It just kind of sits in a corner and nods. That's basically what happened to these brands. So you put these two things together, and that explains why Crush Pad got auctioned off. My best wishes to the new owners. I hope we can see great things coming out of it. But I think that some of the trauma, and you can look at that at a bigger picture, when we saw wine prices that fell continuously, basically from 2009, 2010, 2011, into 2012. You know, we saw the start of the recession, and we saw a whole bunch of people all of a sudden do the Fred Flintstone thing with their little car, putting their feet down, screaming, brake, 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 stop, stop, stop. Because all of a sudden they realized that all these high-riding wine prices, all the money they have been garnering off this, those days were going to have to stop. And this is a question we'll address at the very end. I'm going to get back on this. When we started looking at wine prices falling late 2009, early 2010, were they falling because we weren't drinking? Were they falling because Americans weren't buying? Or were they falling because they were higher than they should have been to begin with? That's a question I'm going to leave you with as we turn to these lovely commercial announcements.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Great Grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Just go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course my all-time favorite, Chardonnay. Buy a few bottles or stock up for your next party. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. That's WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive, risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon.
800-489-1639. 800-489-1639. 800-489-1639.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like,
"Don't make me turn this car around," or "because I said so," or "don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't
Make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad.
Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. Today we are talking about the color of money. Is it the color of a lovely, lovely lemon yellow Chardonnay? A nice straw color for a Sauvignon Blanc? A nice ruby color for a Merlot? Or we're kind of doing an ochre color for a big Cabernet. I honestly don't know. But it seems to be a question that's on a lot of your minds. So let's take a look at things as a whole. Let's go ahead. I'm going to go out on a limb. I love making my own predictions. You keep asking me, are wine prices going to go up? Yes, they're going up, and they're going to start going up soon, and they're going to start going up rapidly. Now, what I don't have an answer for from you are how high they're going to go. Do I think they're going to go back to 2009 levels? No, I don't. I think there were some reality checks in place. But ultimately, yes, you're going to start seeing an increase in your wine prices. And before you start asking me why, let's have a discussion about it and kind of look at an overview on it. Number one, all of you out there who took those wonderful economics classes, what happens when supply goes down? Kent, can you answer this question?
When supply goes down, prices go up.
Well, actually, demand goes up.
Well, demand goes up. That's true.
There's not necessarily a direct correlation between prices and demand, but in this case, there will be. Bottom line is, our demand is about to outpace supply. Did you know that the United States, we joke about we're number one. We go back and forth as far as beer and the fact that there is now more wine consumed in this country than beer. The last 12 years, we have seen almost double digit growth 12 years in a row for wine consumption increasing. If you have an increase in consumption and then you have a decrease in supply, what happens? We have a gap. And when you have a gap, of course, that means that you're going to start seeing prices creeping up. Am I saying that your, $2 chuck is going to go up to $4? Are we going to see that kind of double? No, we're not. But what happens in this premium category where we have gotten used to buying the $12 to $20 wines, these are the wines you're going to see start creeping up. And I think they have a right to. I think what we've seen in the past 4 years is a lot of wines that are of exceptional quality get lost in this premium tier where they should have been in the ultra premium tier to begin with. So number one reason wine is going up is scarcity. Demand is outpacing supply. Now, in tied in with that, yes, we have had two abysmal harvests back to back. So, of course, not only is demand exceeding supply, but demand is less than demand used to be. There's not even enough product to supply demand 2 years ago, much less what there is now. So the hard fact of wine going up is not just a random concept of law of supply and demand. It's going to be the actual goods that go into production of wine, their price has increased. They're expecting to see this year an increase from 4 to 10% on the price of grapes. What does that mean to you? That's going to translate, mentally, I always translate double. If grapes go up 4 to 10%, I expect my wine to go up 8 to 20%. So that will be interesting to watch. So we have scarcity. We have the cost of the goods going into the wine going up. Now, here's something else. This falls in that warm and fuzzy, and maybe it'll be interesting to talk to our guest today, Mr. Rob McMillan, about this. But during the recession, a lot of wineries, understanding that wine has this connotation as being a luxury good, they realized that they wanted to reach out to the American public. They wanted to be part of it. But to do so, they were going to have to shake the founding that they were too expensive. So a lot of wineries dropped their prices during the recession. You know, a lot of wineries, we've talked about this over the past 2 years, they wound up closing because ultimately they couldn't make money out of what they created because they had to drop their prices to compete in the recession. So wineries during the recession have dropped their price. But guess what? Because of all you wine drinkers out there, we're not so much as in the wine recession anymore, so the wineries are comfortable raising their prices again. It's your fault. You did it. This is the reason. No, it's not the only sole reason, but it definitely factors into it.
So is it because we're drinking more?
It is. If you really want to look at it objectively, that's part of it. Because we're drinking more again, it shows that we're willing to spend to drink. And because we're drinking more, we're creating more of a demand.
Oh.
See? It's amazing. I remember nodding off during that big, I had one of those big stadium classes. You basically didn't ever have to show up when I took the first level economics. And I remember hearing the law of supply and demand and kind of looked at it and said, yeah, right, fine, I'm going to go back to napping. It's whoever thought I'd actually apply it. All right, so wineries drop their prices during reception. We have demand. We have scarcity. We have the cost of grapes going up. Here's something else. Now, we've addressed this email a couple of times on the show, but let's just bring it back up as a reference point. I have received emails over the years about how come when I go to my local Mega Mart, I can see 2008, 2007, and 2009 Laura Lawson Cabernet on the shelves. What's the deal? Why are there so many mixed vintages? Well, understand that a lot of the wineries who could stay in business during the recession, they did so by actually starting to deplete their inventories at a lesser cost. So what happened is not only did you have a glut of juice out there, you had a recession, but people were letting their back vintages go at a cheaper price. Now all those inventories are finally depleted. You're going to get to a point where you're not going to see any of these back vintages on shelves or discounted. So the wineries are out of juice from old vintages. They're short on juice from new vintages. And of course, you're drinking more. So you put that all together. There's my call. This is the perfect storm. We are going to see our wine prices go up. And it's going to be interesting to see just how high. Perhaps our guest after the break can help us. We'll have Mr. Rob McMillan, founder of Silicon Valley Bank. Be around after these messages. Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course, Chardonnay. Wines Till Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Big Rig Drivers. Get into any Love's Travel stop and get yourself free tickets to the Camping World Truck Series or Nationwide Series races when you purchase Z-Max Micro Lubricant Heavy Duty Engine Formula or Fuel Formula. Just look for the Z-Max display at Love's Travel stops. Get more from your truck's engine and fuel system when you start using Z-Max. More info about free race tickets at Love's Travel stops from Z-Max Heavy Duty Formula at ZMAX.com.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? there be a right choice. Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now we have a great guest for today's show. We have Mr. Rob McMillan. He is the founder of Silicon Valley Bank, the wine division. Rob, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me.
You fit into today's show absolutely perfectly, almost like Marvin Gaye did to just a nice cloudy, rainy day and a bottle of Pinot. But no, seriously, today we are discussing the color of money. And you recently did an article, Can Wineries Increase Their Bottle Prices? And I have so many emails on this. I don't know why the public is panicking, worrying that their wine is going up. But very much both my listeners and I are looking forward to opening up this can of worms and having a conversation with you about it.
Great.
First of all, Rob, tell our listeners, I know that you have kind of been on the crush before and we've discussed about the Silicon Valley Bank, but give our listeners a background of who you are, what you do, and how you decided to do it.
The short answer is I decided to start the wine practice back when it wasn't the smart thing to do to put all your eggs in one basket, and that's what we did back in the early 90s, and we were the first wine bank to just have a focus on that one vertical, and about 20 years later, we pretty much dominate the market in the wine lending space on the West Coast.
Yeah, honestly, whenever you talk to anyone, I didn't know anyone else played that game but y'all. So you definitely have that whole market cornered. Well,
I'd like to think that, but it's still competitive.
Sorry, don't want to give you a big head by any means. But bottom line is, you guys are the big guys. You're the experts. You know what you're doing. So as we look ahead, if you put all the factors that we have seen together, whether it's two abysmal harvest, whether it's some of the smaller players having falling out, private labels going by the wayside, what do you think? Do you think that wineries can increase their bottle cost?
Short answer, yes, slowly.
Okay.
And you have to just go back to the basics and recognize that inflation will still drive up prices, and commodity prices are going up right now. Beyond that, you know, they almost have to right now because grape costs are going up. The other side of that, though, is consumers not healed. Certainly the middle-class consumer, wrote in my blog this week about the middle-class consumer, they haven't experienced the kind of healing that we would really need to see the same kind of demand take off as we saw in the 90s. So, you know, you get that squeeze back from the consumer saying, well, gosh, I can't really pay any higher prices. And then you throw in one more factor, and that is the impact of imported wines. Thus far this year, we've imported about 19 million cases through June of bulk wine alone, not including bottled wine. And that, those bulk wines go into domestic producers' offerings. You know, you might see a Gallo label that has a product of chili on the back of it, but the imports can also hold back price increases, particularly if they're competitively valued.
I think so to a point, but I do want to get back to actually. I'll start on imports right now because it's on it. Just like you say, we do see an increase of bulk wine coming in from foreign countries, but you mentioned Chile. Think about where we are with the European crisis. Think about what's going on with the euro and everything over there. So I hate to just arbitrarily mark something out, but you can pretty much cut old world out of the picture, at least until they get some stability. You look at Australia. Australia's wine world imploded. There's just no other way to put it. So even though we still see some Australian wines, it's not near the staggering amounts. So it seems like the only two big players we have to worry about are our neighbors to the south, Chile and Argentina. And of course, we have to look at the boats coming from New Zealand. Now, you take the boats from New Zealand out, it's definitely costing more to get it there from here. So really, our only import to me that we have to be seriously concerned about undercutting our market are the South Americans. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I wish I could agree.
Okay.
But actually, I'll actually take the opposite view. The problem with the Eurozone is well documented, and what we predicted for some time now is that there would be a continual decline in the value of the euro relative to the U.S. dollar. And when we have a strengthening of our currency relative to a foreign currency, that means that they can export their goods into our country, and we have more power with our own money to buy those goods. So as it relates to euro, we have the wine-producing countries, particularly of Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, all under that euro with a declining value of their currency versus our expanding value in our currency. So our currencies can go attract more of those wines than they did before. And while our own domestic producers don't see that same kind of shift, they see the uptick in their own production. So the European wines particularly can be more of a value as the U.S. currency continues to strengthen.
Oh, they can be, but I still think we're talking 12 to 18 months down the road on that. You know,
on the bulk side, you see that first, and that's what we've seen so far.
Yeah, on the bulk side, though, we're still looking at 8 to 10 months out. You actually have to have the producers, you have to have the facility. There's a lot of infrastructure that would have to be laid out. I think a lot of my listeners are asking the questions as we roll vintage here in the States, as we look ahead to the holiday season, as we get to, say, spring of next year. I don't think it's going to be an impact. I don't think the import market's really going to have the powerhouse. Hey, a year from now, I think we're going to be underwater with it if it continues like it is right now. I think we'll be swimming in Spanish wine and Portuguese wine and probably Italian wine like we were in Australian wine 10 years ago. I don't think there's any way that we're not going to get around it. They'll have the infrastructure and ready to go in place.
Yeah, so, I think you have that pitted right. The way it works is you always, because it's easier to move mass quantities of bulk first before you have to go through all the fragmented businesses that would move in bottles. So and then you also have to see somewhat of a continuation of the strength of the U.S. currency versus the foreign currencies in order to see that happen on the bottled side. So I think your timing is about right. Whether we swim in, it's another question.
Well, we shall see. It'll be interesting. Maybe we can have an Exxon Valdez, a Pinot Grigio by the time a tanker kind of finds its way around Key Largo. You never know.
There we go.
Okay, so looking at this, let's look at this hardcore. You know, obviously looking at the imports is going to be a big factor. factor. But as we look ahead, you know, some factors we were discussing earlier in the show, you had wineries that had excess inventory that they finally gone through. You have grape prices going up 4 to 12%. You have a lot of these, name brands without backing. You had the specialty brands that didn't have wineries that were just basically conglomerate brands that were turned on and turned off and relabeled. We see a huge impact in all of that disappearing. You know, a lot of these big bulk brands, because of the shortage in the vintages, is going to be gone. You have the grape price increasing. Do you not think there's no other way for a winery to make profit than to go up right now?
There's no other way to make profit than to what?
To increase their prices right now. I think there's no way we can't see an increase.
Well, wineries on average right now are making, at least as of March, the end of March, they're making about 8% pre-tax profit. End of last year, they were making about 7% pre-tax profit. So it's not like wineries aren't making money. They are making money. Where they're seeing a problem is in the squeezing of their margins, their gross margins, and that's just the way the ball bounces right now with the higher cost of grapes, and then for the consumers that just don't want to spend more. And there's enough other options that it's just hard to increase it.
Yeah, aren't all of us actually getting hit in our margins right now? Hey, Rob, we got to take a quick break right here. Do you mind hanging out through some commercials so we can pick back up this conversation?
Sure, you got great tunes.
All right, outstanding. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. We'll be back. We'll pick this up with Rob in a few minutes.
We'll have more of The Wine Crush, presented by WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9517. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9517. That's 1-800-487-9517. Call 1-800-487-9517.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Mozartosties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Right now, we are in midst of conversation with Mr. Rob McMillan. He is the founder of the Silicon Valley Bank Wine Division. Rob, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
All right. I want to go back to something you said at the opening of our whole conversation when we were discussing whether or not wineries could increase their price. You said that consumers are not healed. And here's my question for you. We watched wineries take a definitive price decrease starting basically in 2009. And we saw a lot of these really, really good, what I used to consider ultra-premium wines, decrease their price to a premium wine level. I think that there's just no other way with the perfect storm of supply, demand, cost, everything that's increasing, that these premium wineries are going to have to get back to their ultra-premium category. Say Lawson Chardonnay used to be a $22 bottle of Chardonnay. In 2010, it had to go to $15 Chardonnay, and it got a whole lot of well reception. People loved it. They drank it. But now, because of cost production issues, they're going to have to go to $22. The consumer may not be healed, but do you think the consumers might have gotten used to that kind of palate? Do you think they'll spend because they like that type of wine?
Yeah, I do. A percentage of them certainly will. That's one of the misnomers that I think people carry around, is if you drop your price, then you can't raise it. And there may be some truth to that in an isolated way, but when you're dealing with a whole market cycle, you're comparing a value compared to the rest of the products in that market. So in the case of the wine that you're talking about, they drop their price. People say, wow, this is great. Why would I pay as much as I did before for that wine? Well, when the wine price goes up, if they liked that wine and they're drinking something else now, it doesn't quite taste as good, they might say, I'll pay more. Or maybe I'll, have a cheaper wine one night and, this will be my Friday night wine. But yeah, they can raise prices from that standpoint.
I think ultimately we all get spoiled. Whether it was the splurge of dark chocolate, whether it's, finding a pair of Manolo Blahniks on sale, you get used to some of the best, and then after that it's real hard to go back.
Hard to go back.
It always is. Now, question for you. I'm certainly not talking collusion. I'm not talking anything along those lines. But do winemakers and wineries ever kind of look around, whether it's through the Napa Valley Growers Association, any of the associations, and they all kind of say, hey, listen, we all need to go or none of us need to go? Does any of that really ever happen when you start looking at price increases? Do they look at the industry to be their guidepost?
No, it's a very, very, very fragmented industry. And when it comes to finances, the wine business is a really open, it's a family business, the high end of it. They share everything except customer lists and finances.
If you
ask a winery owner how he's doing, and the answer is great.
Great. Things are wonderful. Great year.
It doesn't matter. It's always great.
So, it's going to be interesting. I've already seen some of it trickle, whether it's a simple matter of retailers taking wine up in anticipation of the new vintages going up. That actually is another. You should be an expert on this. Can our listeners expect automatically when they start seeing these vintages roll to see a higher price point?
Just gradually, and the way that they will see that, they'll notice it at the pricing with a bottle price level. The way that happens, though, right now anyways, is with the producers, they're cutting back the number of discounts that the wholesalers have had. So the cuts are coming right now primarily at the wholesale level, and if the wholesalers want to maintain their price, their own margins, then they've got to raise those prices too to make up for that. So that's the dynamic that you'll see happen. But it's a small amount. But every now and then you cross into, clear boundaries. There's a big difference between an $18.75 bottle and a $20 and one penny bottle. That's a big jump.
Oh, it is. All right, question for you. I'm going to make you pull out your crystal ball and take a guess. If we're talking 1 year from now, you and I are talking about, from harvest of 2012 till now, we have seen a blank percent price increase in the cost of wines to the consumer. What do you think blank is going to be?
Eight.
I think you're being conservative.
There you go. I'm on record.
All right. I'm going to call the over on that. I think because we're going to start looking at some shortages, I think we're looking at shorter vintages. I'm honestly expecting 10 to 12.
Now, all right, we'll bet a lunch.
Okay, I like the sound of that. You and I will definitely bet a lunch. A year from now, we're going to get back and see what the increase was. Now, last question. I know we're trying to run through this, and it's always fun to talk to someone on your side of the business because I never get an opportunity to do this. Consumers voting with their buying dollars. If we start seeing a price increase, you're going to see it, obviously, in your higher-end properties. You're going to see it on wines that in the past were allocated that now aren't. If consumers start voting with their dollars on the new increases we see on these bottles, do you think these wineries are going to get gun-shy and back away from the price increases, or are they just going to put their head down, sink their teeth in, and wait till the bitter end?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the old story in real estate. It's location, 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 and it's a little bit like that as well when it comes to the fine wine side. You know, who was a luxury brand or a cult brand 5 years ago, or let's say 7 years ago now, may not be that in that category today. You know, you'll see that those marginal players that might have called themselves a cult, you know, kind of falling out of that. But the true cult producers are still true cult producers today. They still have totally allocated mailing lists, and they sell out all of their wine.
The true cult producers, they don't know the words price decrease put together. They never saw it, don't know it, never look back.
No, that's true.
So you never, unfortunately, I never saw my annual allocation of Screaming Eagle. I never saw a price reduction. You know, I'm shocked, absolutely shocked on that.
Yeah, $1,000 a bottle.
Yeah. Well, Rob, it has been a delight having you on the show. I'm going to hold you to, I have a bet on air now. So I'm going to actually be able to call you in a year and say, hey, we got to do lunch. So thank you for being part of the Crush. And I am looking forward to speaking with you sometime soon, and we'll see who's right.
Happy harvest.
Happy harvest, sweetheart. Hey, we're going to take another break here on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap up today's show and try and decide what exactly is the color of money.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Just go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course my all-time favorite, Chardonnay. Buy a few bottles or stock up for your next party. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. That's WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
Big Rig Drivers. Get into any Love's Travel stop and get yourself free tickets to the Camping World Truck Series or Nationwide Series races when you purchase Z-Max Micro Lubricant Heavy Duty Engine Formula or Fuel Formula. Just look for the Z-Max display at Love's Travel Stops. Get more from your truck's engine and fuel system when you start using Z-Max. More info about free race tickets at Love's Travel Stops from Z-Max Heavy Duty Formula at ZMAX.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wine Still Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And our heart goes out to Mr. Rob McMillan, who's brave enough to make a bet with me on air. Hey, Rob, I never lose. Just keep that in mind. So for all of you who have sent emails in inquiring as to whether your wine's going up, I think you got 2 resounding yeses today. It'll be interesting to see whether Rob and his 8% or me and my 10 to 12 are going to be more accurate. But bottom line is you can expect to pay more for what you like to drink. But a question that keeps floating around these price increases is we think about, we alluded to it a second ago when we were talking about the cult wines. Are we going to see pricing go back to 2007, 2006 price points? And the answer to this question, I certainly hope not. I am saying no. I think those wines that stayed at those price points were the cult wines. They deserve to be there. And bottom line is, buddy, if you can afford them, by all means, buy them and enjoy them. But I do think that when we saw the price corrections that happened in 2007 and 2008, that I think there were a lot of wineries out there that got a little big for their britches. Whether they thought they were neighbors of the cult wines or thought that they were second cousins first removed and they deserved the right to put those prices on it, I think they looked in a situation, I think they took advantage of the market. I think the few things that we can say about the recession in the wine business that have benefited us is we have come out of this on the other side of it, a very educated consumer. I don't think we're going to be taken in by the press. I don't think we're going to be taken in by the points. I don't think we're going to be convinced by lipstick on a pig that it's worthwhile to actually pay that $200 for that bottle of Cabernet that came from a $39 vineyard. I think ultimately we're coming out of this savvy, and I think those of us who weathered the storm and weathered the whole idea of the recession and the wine cost are coming out at the better end of this. So do I think we're going to see wine prices back where they were in 2007? Absolutely not, because we've sent a message to the wineries that we're too smart to fall for it again. We're definitely on top of it. We know better. We've tasted better. But we also know where the limits of our pocketbooks are. So ultimately, get ready, get prepared. You're definitely going to be spending more to drink as well as you have been. But also keep in mind, as you keep your clutches on your wallet, that you ultimately vote for your favorite wineries by deciding what you're going to spend. As always here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.